You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC Buzz Podcast. Looking ahead to UFC 209, live from Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner here in the studio with the BT Sport pundit Gareth A. Davis on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Gareth.
To you too. Have you got a tan? You've been away.
I've been skiing though, Gareth, so it's only a slight tan.
Here. Is that how you pronounce it? Keenan Teen with Kellner on the slopes. I'd love to have seen a video of that, Dave.
I've got no knee flex anymore, Gareth. In my younger days, I could actually get down and ski properly, but now it's upright skiing. It's a new version that I've developed over the last few years.
Are you the upright snowplow now, then?
just about. Parallel skiing is long gone. It's in a distant past now for me, Gareth. It's all about snowplow.
And I just had this picture of you arriving towards me as we started the podcast and just doing this skidding stop. But it's nothing like that, is it?
Nothing like that at all. Gareth, it's good to be back on the podcast, and I've come back at a good time because we're going to preview four of the biggest fights on the night in Las Vegas, but this is some card, isn't it?
It's an amazing card. I mean, we have got potentially, I think, on here, certainly could be two of the fights of the year. And we've got a veteran who was a champion against a new up-and-comer. You know, we've got heavyweight bouts on the main card. I mean, you know, even the prelims are stacked as well with the likes of Mirsad Bektic, who's fighting Darren Elkins in a brilliant fight. Yuri Alcantara against Luke Saunders. You know, there's lots of great action, but the main focus for most people for the night will center on these four major fights on the main card, as you say, in Las Vegas at this UFC 209 event.
Let's get stuck in, and we'll start with a heavyweight clash. Alistair Overeem versus Mark Hunt. And here at William Hill, the latest odds, Overeem is 8-11 with Hunt in the market at even money. We've got method of result, round betting, fight to go the distance, and total rounds betting on the William Hill website and on the William Hill app as well. Overeem, a slight favourite to 8-11, but two veterans going head-to-head here, Gareth. And Overeem has been brutal in his career, be it with his knees, kicks, or with his striking as well. And when the fight does go to ground, he's also had 19 submission wins in his career, Overeem. And he's going up against Hunt, who has a 12-10-1 record in his career. And he's developed. He was a brawler early on in his career. But he's become a counterboxer as the years have progressed, Gareth. Overeem versus Hunt, how do you see it?
Well, look, I mean, these guys met, remember, I think it's about 9 years ago now. And the as you mentioned, one of his submissions in his career was over Mark Hunt in Dream 5 in July 2008. So, you know, they meet again. They needed to meet in the heavyweight division in the UFC. They're both Mark II versions of themselves. Overeem looked to he came into the UFC and he had a nightmare. Yeah, he had a nightmare. He really did. He had problems, first of all. He'd come from Strikeforce. Sorry, he got the win over Brock Lesnar, which was big for him, but Lesnar was virtually finished then. And then he goes on this streak where he loses to Antonio Silva, Bigfoot, loses to Travis Brown. squeaks a win against Frank Mir, loses to Ben Rothwell, but then he put a body of work together that took him to the title shot, obviously last September. Stefan Struve, Roy Nelson, Struve was, over him has been a hero for Struve through his career as he's grown up. Victory over Roy Nelson, Junior dos Santos win, Andre Orlovsky win, you know, an amazing knockout of, you know, a stoppage of Andre Orlovsky. But then he runs into Stipe Miocic, the current UFC heavyweight champion, and he gets clocked and knocked down in the first round, 4 minutes 27. Mark Hunt and him in their second match 9 years later are two completely different fighters. Overeem, it's almost Mark III Overeem, you could even say. He's been around so long. Mark Hunt has the right-hand knockout and step over. His walkover of his opponents is legendary when he knocks them out. He knows the minute he says he lands with his big right hand that fighters are finished. I'd be very, very surprised. I'd be interested in what the odds are on the fight going the distance, because I think someone's getting knocked out in this fight. I mean, Hunt's gone five rounds before against Bigfoot Silver in the UFC, of course, and in an incredible, bloody, very bloody night. But I think Alistair Overeem, unless he really gets his knees and his range and he's up for this for three rounds, I think Mark Hunt will clock him and knock him out at some point. You know, I mean, Hunt obviously has had an incredible time of it recently as well. I mean, the no contest against Brock Lesnar, which he lost, but was declared a no contest with Lesnar testing positive for the banned substance clomiphene afterwards, so it was annulled. But before that, two wins over Frank Mir and Bigfoot Silver. This is one of those heavyweight clashes for the diehards, because these two guys are both legends in the sport. But it could go many, many different ways, Dave. I'm gonna go for Hunt by knockout in this fight if Alistair Overeem isn't really up for it, because he sometimes has a very good start, and if he doesn't win, he loses interest.
Mark Hunt by knockout is 6-4 here with William Hill, and the compilers, Gareth, are onto you here as well, because the fight to go the distance, no, is 1-4. 1-4 for the fight not to go the distance. Yeah. It's 11-4 for the fight to go those three rounds. Overeem has got, you don't want to say a glass chin, but he can be, he's a bit susceptible, isn't he, nowadays, anyway?
He is. It's weird. No, he's had fights when he hasn't, though, as well. There are times when I've really considered him, Dave, to be an on-top fighter, that when it's going his way, he is just spectacular. And if someone shows resilience against him, he can cave sometimes. Hunt's one of those guys that just finishes a fight. He's one of the greatest strikers we've ever seen. Remember, he's shorter than Overeem, so he's punching upwards quite a lot shorter. He's just under 6 foot, Mark. Overeem's a very big man. If Overeem fancies another run on the belt, then you know, he pretty much knows at the moment that Stipe Miocic is probably going to hold on to it for at least a couple of defences. He doesn't look beatable at the moment, not by the current roster anyway. So if he fancies another bite at Stipe Miocic, he gets through Hunt and a couple more victories and he's fighting for the belt again. But I fancy Mark Hunt, who is a brilliant timer of a punch, brilliant with range and distance and timing, to knock Alistair Overeem out. Late first round, early second round for me. I'm sticking my neck out there, but late first round, early second round for me.
Let's talk about Rashad Evans takes on Daniel Kelly in a middleweight clash. Rashad Evans odds on at 1-2. Daniel Kelly 8-5. Again, full range of markets on the William Hill website. Evans has actually faced problems even receiving permission to fight in this contest. Mm. He's had a couple of bouts cancelled. And here he's 1-2 to beat Daniel Kelly on Saturday night.
Look, four losses in his last six. You know, admittedly, one of those is John Jones, probably one of the greatest fighters ever to slip on 4 ounce gloves, and we wait for his comeback in the summer in July. This is a tough fight against a guy who is very highly regarded, who, you know, he's not young, but he's an Australian who has only lost once. He hasn't been up against this level of opponent. And I think he's being afforded an opportunity. Obviously, he's a judo. I think it's four times he went to the Olympic Games as a judoka. He never won a medal, but he's got brilliant grappling. He has got decent hands as well. But he's a submission guy primarily, but he has knocked out three opponents. But he also lost to Sam Alvey. And I think if Rashad Evans has anything left, he can go for this fight and really prove something. But I'm not sure what Rashad really has left in the tank. They say you can only go with your chin, for example, to the cash register so many times, because in the end it runs out. It even did for the great Chuck Liddell eventually. And Rashad Evans is the man that knocked his lights out, of course. He's a former UFC light heavyweight champion, but that's a long time ago now. You know, January 2012 was the last time he defended that belt. It's 5 years ago. I used to work on TV, Dave, for ESPN back in the day with Rashad Evans as part of their crew on MMA Live with John Anik and others, Stefan Bonner. He's a wonderful man, Rashad. He's one of my favorite people in fight sports. But you know what? Unless he moves well and gets his hands moving, I see Kelly winning this fight. If it becomes a grapple fest, it will be very interesting. Obviously, Rashad is a top-level wrestler as well. But, you know, I don't want to say that Rashad needs to walk away from the sport, but his body and his mind are perhaps telling him something. And there's one thing they say in fight sports: the fighter is often the last person to know. And, you know, I'm saying it now, I think Rashad is very close to the end.
The one thing, or not the one thing he's got going for him, but one thing he has got going for him here, Evans, is the last two fighters he's lost to, Ryan Bader and Tazera. Mm. Bader has that speed and skill, and Tazera's got brutal punching power. Kelly doesn't really have those attributes, does he, Gareth?
No, he doesn't. And the other thing, of course, about this fight is it's down at middleweight, not at light heavyweight. And there's a big difference between being 185 pounds in the 205 division. Rashad, you know, is just under 6 foot, but he's incredibly powerfully built. You know, he's got thighs like ham hocks, like giant ham hocks. He's an incredibly powerful athlete. He's the perfect bill for a running back in American football. You know, the reason why I'm giving him a chance in this fight is it's at middleweight. Whereas, you know, as you say, against Bader and Teixeira, he's up against guys who are very, very heavy-handed, who are you know, big hitters in the light heavyweight division. And they are big, big men. They're equivalent just short of heavyweight boxers. I'm glad he's fighting at middleweight. I hope the weight cut hasn't affected him too badly. But at the end of the day, I mean, Rashad is 37 now. Kelly's 39, by the way. He's no spring chicken. But I just think that Kelly's probably got less wear and tear on him. You know, and you know, he's come into the sport late. And he's one of those guys who is a little bit unpredictable in terms of we don't know how good he could be. You know, you look at the middleweight division at the moment. I don't see either of these guys kind of making fast leaps up the rankings. But, you know, Sam Alvey's at 15, and he's obviously got a victory over Kelly. But it's we've called it before. It's, you know, you've got Bisping as the champion, and you know, I'm 1-6 is like Murderer's Row. Honestly, they are such great fighters. You know, I hope we see the Rashad of old, but I've just got a sneaking feeling that Kelly's going to be smart in this fight, and this might be the very last time we ever see Rashad Evans in a UFC octagon.
Daniel Kelly, the pick, 8-5. Daniel Kelly to beat Rashad Evans. Now onto the co-main events here. Two unbelievable fights to finish the night in Las Vegas at Nevada. And we'll start with Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Tony Ferguson. Nurmagomedov is 8-15 to win the fight. Ferguson in the betting at 6-4. We've talked on previous podcasts, Gareth, about how highly you regard Tony Ferguson and how you believe he deserves his how he deserves these big fights, Gareth.
He's and got shot at Conor McGregor. They both do. You know, look, these two men could potentially, both of these men could potentially be nightmares for Conor McGregor. Now, listen, at the risk of upsetting Conor McGregor, which is not difficult to do, and he has shown his brilliance, and barely a podcast goes by, Dave, when we don't talk about Conor McGregor. It's almost the case if we don't talk about Conor McGregor, we'll be upsetting Conor McGregor, you know? Look, he's the man. He was the featherweight champion. He's relinquished that belt now, and he's moved up to lightweight. He defeated Eddie Alvarez for the belt on the same card, of course, where we'll talk about the main event rematch in a minute. But Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think rightly, is the number one challenger in the division, the lightweight 155 division, and Tony Ferguson rightly the number two. Conor McGregor wasn't around. People will still be raving about this fight. Nurmagomedov is one of the most spectacular wrestler fighters we've ever seen. I was with him in San Jose in his training camp just a couple of weeks ago. When I was out there speaking to Fedor, I was out there doing a piece on Fedor Emelianenko, the Russian emperor, the last emperor, one of the great heavyweights in UFC history, went 28 in MMA history, sorry, not UFC history, who went 28 fights unbeaten in the late 90s and into the mid 2000s. A genuine legend of the sport before the kind of, you know, the stellar names of Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey. He was just an incredible, incredible fighter. But Khabib Nurmagomedov from Dagestan is cut from the same kind of cloth. He's a lightweight wrecking ball. He's an incredible wrestler. You cannot get up once he's taken you to the ground. He's had an MMA career of 9 years now and is undefeated in 24 fights. 24 fights. 24 wins. You want to talk about someone who's rounded, Dave? 8 by knockout, 8 by submission, and 8 by decision. You don't get any more rounded than that. But he's up against one of the most tenacious men I've ever met, who has come up slowly through the ranks, was a welterweight, moved to lightweight. It suits his body. He's a very long, lean man, Tony Ferguson. Transitions from the ground to the stand-up very quickly and effortlessly. And did for Rafael Dos Anjos in Mexico City last year and looks spectacular. There's not a chink in either of these men's armors mentally, but I just feel that Khabib, if he can get hands on Tony Ferguson, will command this fight by wrestling and probably wins it. If Ferguson gets his hands on Khabib, and Michael Johnson landed a lot of punches, even though he's a southpaw, and Ferguson isn't, landed a lot of punches on Khabib in the New York, the inaugural Madison Square Garden event. And my feeling is that Khabib will win this. But it's a really hard fight to call, and it really is one of the matchups of the last few years in terms of bringing two guys together at the peak of their powers, at the right time, and the winner has to fight Conor McGregor for me.
Nurmagomedov by decision, available at 5-4 here with William Hill. I just get the feeling
that shows it, doesn't it? You know,
yeah, it's a very, very tight fight, this one. Nurmagomedov is 8-15 to win it. There's a bit of the devil in Nurmagomedov. Every time you see him, and he's got that ability, not only ability, but he will taunt his opponent as well. And he knows how good he is. I think he's got that arrogance about him, Nurmagomedov.
Do you know what he's done brilliantly? And I went to speak to his San Jose, a.k.a. coach, American Kickboxing Academy coach, Javier Mendez, in person in January. He's learned the language, which is one thing. A lot of the Eastern European and Russian fighters don't bother to learn English, and he's got brilliant English. I mean, as I say, I did a 3,000-word cover story interview for Fighters Only magazine on him at the turn of the year that came out last month, and his English was brilliant, and we talked about his family and how they, when he goes back to, he obviously trains in America, but then goes back to Dagestan. He said, there's 100 of me in Dagestan. He said, there's 100 of me, because Sambo, Russian wrestling and fighting style, is so huge there. And he's got these kind of aspects to him that he wears his hat to the weigh-ins. He's got these, he's known as the eagle. The eagle is his flag. He would never hurt an animal. He's a devout Muslim. He leaves the training mat. In fact, he left the training mat when I was there in San Jose to go and pray, because he goes to the mosque a few times a day. He'll pray, train, pray, train. He's a wonderful man to deal with. And my feeling is that if either of these men win, it's a brilliant matchup with Conor McGregor. But I'm just edging towards Nurmagomedov by hustle in this fight. But I would not rule out Tony Ferguson winning either. Look, Ferguson's lost before. Khabib hasn't. So maybe he's got more to lose in this fight. But they're both patiently waiting, as they've told me, to destroy Conor McGregor.
Let's see if that materialises. Nurmagomedov, the pick to win by decision at 5-4 here with William Hill. And the night finishes with the main event, the battle for the welterweight title. Tyron Woodley taking on Stephen Thompson in a rematch from a fight back in November, which was a majority draw in the end. Mm. Tyron Woodley is 6-5, the outsider to win this fight. Stephen Thompson, Wonderboy, is in the betting at 4-6. Mention just there the prices, Gareth. The outsider, Tyron Woodley, he always seems to be the outsider. Does he not get the credit he deserves, Tyron Woodley?
Well, it's very interesting, this. I mean, obviously, he's made these comments that he feels that, you know, because of his colour and race, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting argument. It's been kind of poo-pooed by Dana White, the UFC president. He thinks it's nonsense. I think there's something in it. But I think the thing is with Tyron, he's not everyone's cup of tea. I thought under his coach, Duke Rufus, at Rufus Sport, I thought he came in November with an amazing game plan against Wonderboy Thompson, who's longer, who has these spectacular knockout kicks that he can deliver. And for me, Tyron, instead of coming in like he normally does and crashes through people, he fought a brilliant game plan. They'd come up with a great game plan, him and Duke Rufus. He stayed on the outside, he kept moving, and he landed his punches on the counter and then took Stephen Wonderboy Thompson to the ground. I thought he won the fight. I thought he edged the fight, but I wasn't going to argue with a draw in the end. He obviously nearly finished Wonderboy in the fourth round, and how he got out of that, I don't know. Wonderboy showed some brilliance on the ground to get out of that in the fourth round. For me, I understand why Tyron's the underdog in this, because Woodley's got more ways to win in many ways, because he can vary his... He's got this... I'm doing it now. I'm bouncing on my feet right now, Dave, from the southpaw stance. Can you hear me getting out of breath?
We need the webcam there, don't we, really, for this?
But I'm bouncing. I'm trying to do Stephen Thompson. I couldn't even get anywhere near doing Stephen Thompson. But he has got... He can move in and out of range quite brilliantly, and he can knock people out with a single kick. Woodley managed to repel that for 25 minutes last time. In my view, he has to come out with exactly or a very similar game plan this time, because the style matchup suits Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He can alter his game more, and I think that's why Woodley has more to lose in this contest, because Thompson just alters his game a little bit, and the pattern of the fight changes. It's up to Woodley to try and dictate that last time, this time. Last time out, he played off what Thompson was doing and made his attacks clever and rushed Thompson when he had the openings. He could have so easily won the fight because he did everything right. He's got to do it all right for 25 minutes again this time. And it wouldn't surprise me this time. We've seen him knock out Robbie Lawler to win the belt, okay? He still holds the belt, but he's got to pull off a spectacular performance against Wonderboy Thompson. And I just think Thompson might find the finish this time, late in the third or early in the fourth round. I've got Thompson this time by knockout or TKO.
Stephen Thompson by knockout, TKO or disqualification is 9-4. If you're looking for the specific rounds here with William Hill, Stephen Thompson in round 3 is 9-1, and Stephen Thompson in round 4 available at 12-1. So do you think it's really beneficial that Stephen Thompson had that meeting with Woodley back in November? Do you think that plays into his hands rather than Tyrone's?
I really do. I think, you know, they're going into the 26th minute against each other in this fight. And, you know, look, I'm not saying I know the game plan, but I do know the people involved here. Woodley is going to try and change the pattern of the fight this time, because he had a perfect game plan last time. My view is he will try and rush Thompson this time, and I think it'll be a mistake. I think he's going to try and rush Thompson hard this time and put pressure on him, but I think he might get caught on the way in. It wouldn't, listen, if Woodley lands, Thompson goes to sleep as well. If Woodley lands properly, Thompson will go to sleep. But I just feel that Thompson will alter his game plan, because they will have worked on, they're very clever, he works with his father, they're very clever, they will work on the fact that Woodley will probably, with Duke Rufus, who's a very clever striking coach, will probably alter his game plan slightly. I believe, and I'm not saying I know more than Duke Rufus, because he's a legend in fighting, as a trainer and as a fighter. If I was Woodley, I'd do exactly the same thing as he did last time. Be patient, stay on the outside, circle, wait for the opportunities. But I don't think they will, and I think Wonderboy Thompson will catch him. But it's a great fight. I mean, stylistically, they don't match up in many ways, because Thompson has all the advantages, as we knew going into the first fight. But what they produced at Madison Square Garden that night, as the build towards Conor McGregor beating Eddie Alvarez, was just off the charts. I had one of those nights in November in Madison Square Garden, and we did the podcast before and after it.
Yeah.
Where I didn't sleep. I mean, the event, I think I got home at 8 in the morning. I didn't sleep the whole of the next day, because it was just so thrilling. The atmosphere was so brilliant, and there's a real appetite to see these two go again. And it's brilliant when you've had one great fight and they've drawn and they go at it again for 25 minutes. But I'm going to go Wonderboy Thompson this time, but there's no guarantee that I'm right, because Woodley and Duke Rufus may come up with a clever game plan and rush him and knock him out.
UFC 209 at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Gareth's picks, just to recap: Mark Hunt at even money to beat Alistair Overeem. Daniel Kelly to beat Rashad Evans, the upset there at 8-5. Khabib Nurmagomedov at 8-15 to beat Tony Ferguson. And Stephen Wonderboy Thompson at 4-6 to beat Tyrone Woodley. If you package those together in an accumulator, that pays 12.28-1, Gareth. So just over 12-1 for those four fighters on Saturday night. Gareth, thank you.
Well, that's a great bet if you can get it, if you get it right. I mean, you know, listen, I'm sticking my neck out with Dan Kelly, remember?
Yep.
And also, maybe I'm sticking my neck out a little bit with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But, you know, this is MMA. There are so many ways to win. And when the best matchups occur in the UFC and you get a great card like this, you always get upsets. But, hey, this is fight sports. Expect the unexpected.
Thank you for your company, Gareth.
Always a pleasure, David.
If you want to follow Gareth on Twitter, it's at Gareth A. Davis DT. You can follow myself at D. Kellner. Make sure you check out this podcast via audioboom.com. Type in William Hill. And, of course, you can get us on iTunes as well. And check out all the betting on the William Hill website for UFC 209 in Las Vegas.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.